good morning, everybody. It's Wednesday morning. It's about 11 or 12, 12. And you're listening to Glenn Coble, and the show is Progressive Life. And today we don't have a guest. Tomorrow I'm looking to have Ed McCances coming by. I'm going to ask him about his short-lived attempt to become the mayor of Marion, Ohio. And we'll talk to him about that and what instigated him running or thinking about running. And we're going to compare notes on some of the things I did when I ran and some of the things he thought about doing and didn't follow through with, apparently. Anyway, we're going to have him on. We'll probably have Mayor Schertzer on in the next couple of weeks. And I've put out a request to Kevin. Kevin Norris, I'm sorry, Kevin, I forgot your last name. Kevin Norris is running on the Republican side of the ticket, and we'll try to keep you appraised. I'm going to try and get another group of politicians on, you know, running for one particular office, and there's kind of rules that you have to give equal time. If you invite one on, you have to invite the other on or make the time available for that person. So we're going to do that, and by the time we get up to the election time, you will know everybody. I think that's the way to do things. And today is a sad day in the life of the United States of America. This is the 18th, I believe, or 19th year after 9/11. And we all remember where we were on 9/11, I think. If you are old enough to remember 9/11, you're old enough to remember where you were. I had just stepped out of athletics, and I had started working at a automobile dealer down in Athens. It was my first day, I believe, or it was probably my second day, because I had gone to work the day before. So it was my second day at Don Wood Ford, and it was a day off for me, so I was sitting at home, and my wife says, "A plane flew into the World Trade Center." That can't be. So I went and watched, and unfortunately, we were watching TV when the second one crashed in. I have a niece who she works in artificial intelligence. I'm not sure if she's still doing that, but she was working there, and so therefore she had occasion to go to New York quite often and talk to people in downtown New York. And that day she happened to be on a subway heading towards the World Trade Center, and she missed her stop at the World Trade Center and went to the next stop and decided she had better get off and go back. So she got off and crossed over and went to the other side, and she was going to head back and started hearing people say what was going on and decided against going back. But we're very happy that she got off at the wrong stop. She made it through, and she got out of there, thank goodness, and got away from the area, so she didn't have to deal with the horrors that were going on at the World Trade Center. If you remember, there were lots of horrors. I was at the World Trade Center before it, obviously, before it was when it was. Well, let's see. I'm trying to remember how old it was. It was fairly new. We were invited. The basketball team that I was involved with at the time was in the finals of the NIT, And so we were in New York, and we, what a great, the NIT runs a great show if you make it to the finals of the NIT. I know it's the second show, it's not the NCAA, but they offer a great opportunity, or at least used to offer a great opportunity for those of us who were members of the traveling party of the teams. The first night that we got there, we got to eat at Tavern on the Green, which was in Central Park, and a tavern. It wasn't a tavern; it was a restaurant, but it was called Tavern on the Green. Fantastic food. I think we paid. We didn't, because it was paid for by the NIT. But I think the stuff that we had was about $75 per person. And that was back a ways, when $75 was worth at least $50. I think we all had some form of a steak, and it was fantastic. But then after, I think it was probably the second night, after we had practiced all day there, because you don't go there and play the game and then head out. You go there and you go through the procedures, you get introduced, you have lots of opportunity to meet people. They have cocktail hours and things like that. Well, they had a hot cocktail hour on the very top floor of the World Trade Center. Very top. It was so high up that when we looked out the window, we couldn't see anything because we were in the clouds. It was a great evening. It was kind of scary being up there, because you really could feel a little bit of swaying, which I asked why I felt that oddness, and one of the people that was one of our hosts said, well, that's the swaying. The building swayed like 3 feet every hour or something like that, and you could kind of feel it. It was a little disconcerting. Anyway, I just was amazed when the 9/11 happened and planes crashed into that. And people forget that, well, they don't forget, but people don't consider the plane that crashed in Pennsylvania as quite as big a deal as the two that crashed into the World Trade Center. Well, now, let's face it, there were 2,977 people killed instantly, or fairly instantly. Well, a lot of them not instantly. I mean, what am I talking about? They were killed on that day because of the crashes of the two planes. Now, that does not include the 18, I think, there were of the people that caused the carnage. Anyway, and we're not going to include them. I never will include them as part of the honored dead. But 2,977 were killed, and that included 243 firefighters who ran up to help those people. And quite a few of them did help a lot of people get out of the two towers. I listened to one who helped a lot of people get out, and he said the worst part of the whole day was hearing thudding as people hit the ground around them who had jumped out of the towers. And that's one of those sites that it just never leaves you. Even as long ago as it was, I'm sure I will remember the sight of those people hanging out of the windows, or worse yet, that couple that kind of held hands as they jumped to their death. Can you imagine what you would think? I don't know how many seconds, but it's several seconds that it takes you to hit the ground. I'm sure you have resigned yourself to your death, let's not go into it. It's going to make me very maudlin. There was another note that I wrote to myself when I was planning the show, that 68 firefighters have died since 9/11. 68 have died, and they expect dozens more to die, and they have it like 9/11 fever or something like that, but they get from inhaling all the everything that was blown into smithereens, and they get some form of cancer from that stuff. Now, of course, there was probably cancerous things that were used in the building, and there was obviously lots of paper, and I'm sure there was lots of jet fuel that was not quite burned. Most of it was burned, but even thinking about that, the carbon that came from the burning jet fuel probably was something you wouldn't want to inhale. So far, 68 firefighters have died from that. So, and you know, when you stop and think about it, I'm not sure what your feelings are about first responders. But those first responders had no idea that was going to happen to so many of their fellow workers. But they went in and they did know that there was danger. There is no doubt about it that they knew there was danger. Especially they knew after the first tower went down that there was danger, and they still tried to save people. And we owe them a debt of gratitude. There is no doubt about that. But we also owe their families and their children and their families a debt of concern, gratitude, support. We owe them all of that, hopefully we will never see something like that happen again. And we haven't seen anything quite that disastrous since then. And I was listening this morning on Talk TV that there have been so many things that the government has started to do since then that has caught, before it happened, several of these proposed or attempted disasters that fortunately we've been able to catch and pass stop from happening. One of the things that 9/11 did do, if you recall, 9/11 did unify the United States, even if it were only briefly. We were united against the evils of the world that caused that sort of thing to happen. We have slowly, if not surely, slid away from that unity. We are probably as far from unity as I can recall, and I can recall back to President Eisenhower. So if I can not recall too much lack of unity like we have right now, it probably means there hasn't been too many times that we have been so ununified or divided as we are now. And we're divided because of things. We're divided because of lies. We're divided because of tribalism. They call it tribalism. What it means is one against the other, and whatever you do is wrong, and whatever I do is right. And that's gone on all of our history. You go back way before, you go back to the cave people, and I'm certain they had their own version of tribalism. And I'm never quite sure why human beings think that it has to be us against them. I guess that's kind of an animalistic survival tactic, us against them. Because let's face it, if in the animal world, one animal eats another animal, and it's not beautiful. My wife won't let me watch the nature shows where, you know, a lion grabs a cow and takes it down and eats it. She won't let me watch that. Not that I want to watch that, but that is strictly verboten in my house. We do not watch that sort of thing. Even though, and we struggle with this, we eat meat. We are not vegetarians. And I guess it's kind of hypocritical to say, you know, you should be a vegetarian or that we shouldn't eat meat, and yet we do. It's definitely hypocritical. But if you stop and think about, well, now we almost harvest our beef and our chickens and everything else that we basically harvested. I think I mentioned a couple, 3 weeks ago about me being in Quito, Ecuador, and eating meat and potatoes, and I found out later the meat was dog meat. And that was just accepted. They raised dogs in giant pens, and they were ugly, white, hairless dogs. No, they weren't hairless, but very short-haired dogs and very fat. And that's what I ate, and I've never quite forgiven myself from that. But I hope that on 9/11, I hope that you can find a way in your heart, and this is kind of my progressive leaning. It's definitely led to me by, taught to me by my mother, who is a very forgiving person, and my father, who is not quite so forgiving, but who is a Methodist minister and a rather liberal Methodist minister. I hope you can find it in your heart to forgive others. It'd be darn near impossible to forgive the people that instituted that situation, but forgive other countries. The country didn't do it. A group of people from a country, and I'm not quite sure which country you would blame, but the country didn't do it. And so why do we continue to run down other countries? I'm a firm believer that you let people do as they will do, as long as they don't hurt anybody, which is what happened here. But let other countries rule themselves, and don't try and take them over. What good does it do? It just makes you hated by the rest of the world. One of the things that our leader, in our governmental leader, had decided to do last week at some point was to meet with the Taliban in Camp David. Now, I am not one of those people that believes Camp David is a sacred place. As you all know by now, I am an agnostic and don't believe in that type of sacredity, if that's a word. I just made it up. Anyway, I don't believe it's a sacred place. I believe it's a good place to hold meetings where people can be off on their own. It's a decent place for people to get into. They're not too far from transportation and stuff like that. And it's apparently a beautiful place. I've never been there. But to bring the Taliban into a place like that, not far from where they caused 2,977 people to die on that day, 9/11, I found was thoughtless and not very empathetic toward the families and the friends of those people that died. And I understand why our media has gone after them, but it's gone after the government. But it's kind of senseless. We're not saving anybody by keeping the Taliban out of Camp David. There are a lot of things that we can do that would save people, would help people live a better life. If we spent the money that we spend on killing people, on saving people with food and with clean water and clean air, we would probably be a lot further along. But as you know, I am a tree hugger, and I'm sure there are people out there saying I'm an idiot. And if you'd like to do that, you're welcome to call in. The number here, by the way, is 740-383-9944. That's WWGH, those last four digits. 740-383-9944. Excuse me. I'd like to thank the young kids that, by the way, that brought me a rose today from the Marion Flower Shop, who is having a special day where they give, I believe they give you a dozen roses to go out and pass on the good news. I wish we could do more of that, especially on a day like 9/11. I don't believe it was planned to be on 9/11 day, but I think maybe it was. What a good way to pass on love rather than pass on the hate. By the way, speaking of hate and disagreements about the Taliban coming to Camp David, John Bolton, the National Security Advisor, or former National Security Advisor, left the administration yesterday. Now, there is some question whether he left or he was pushed, but apparently he's going to let us know about that. I was never a big John Bolton fan because I thought he was too hawkish. As you know, I'm probably dovish as opposed to hawkish. I think killing other people in war is one of the most asinine things different countries do, but we do that. And anyway, John Bolton apparently was part of the disagreement with the president about the Camp David Taliban meeting. I'm surprised. It sounds like something that he did that was maybe thoughtful. But he's gone, and I guess they're bringing in his underling is going to take over as the acting security advisor, and within the next week or two, we'll get somebody appointed or recommended, I'm not sure which it'll be, by the president for that position. There has been talk on talk television that maybe they'll just not bring in a security advisor and let our Secretary of State do both jobs. One of the things we seem to be doing is cutting the size of our government in a way that just doesn't seem very positive to me. We aren't cutting it. We're just allowing it to die on the vine. And as one dies, we allow the bud next to it to continue to grow. We don't cut it off, but I'm not sure that's a good way to improve our government, is to keep on dwindling it down till everybody is an acting director. Somebody needs to have the control, and I understand that our president thinks he's the one that should have all the control, but you do remember that the reason 1776, the reason why we have a Declaration of Independence, it was declaring our independence from a monarch in England. We didn't believe that one person was always right. A monarch was, whether he was right or wrong, or she was right or wrong, in most cases it was a he, but whether he was right or wrong, he was right. And that's kind of the way our government seems to be running right now. I hope that you will, like I say all the time, I hope you will use your critical analysis when you're thinking about what we need to do with this government. And I think you can vote either way, Democratic or Republican, and still be a thoughtful person. I am not one of those people that thinks that everybody that's Republican is wrong. I have a lot of friends that are Republicans, and a lot of them have darn good ideas. And I wish we could learn to listen to each other. We have ceased to listen, and listening is more important than talking, believe me. And that's coming from a guy that talks on radio all the time. I know that I'm the antithesis of that. But I'm trying in my weak way, I'm trying to help people think about things. And I think we need to think deeper and with more clarity and more concern for our fellow man. I'm not certain it's going to come very fast. One of the questions I was asking myself the other night when I was planning this show, why do we need clarity? Why do we need honesty in our government? Wouldn't it be better if we didn't know anything that was going on and we just lived our lives? Well, that's led to an awful lot of revolutions. because if you don't know what's happening and it's not clear what's happening and your government lies to you about what's happening, you're going to get yourself in a situation where there are going to be a lot of evil things done to a lot of people. Because of the greed that is inherent in a lot of people's heads. I'm convinced that there are a couple of type of people. Well, let me listen to our, we have a person that would like to say something. I'm going to bring them on the air here. Hang on. Hello, you're on the air.
Yes, I was listening to your radio show and you were talking about, and I heard about Trump inviting the Taliban
yeah.
to Camp David. What kind of person invites the enemy to their home turf?
Well, that's kind of tribalism right there, but very few. And my feeling about that is not that, why are we bringing the enemy to our home turf? Why are we honoring the enemy with any goodness, how many, very few miles away from where he killed almost 3,000 American citizens.
Yeah. I mean, if he wanted to meet with him, why didn't he do it on neutral ground?
Absolutely. That was my feeling, but I understand that there are people that think any port in a storm. You've got to start talking to him somewhere, so why not at Camp David? My question is, why not have the meeting of the European Seven? Why does he want them at Mar-a-Lago instead of Camp David? He wants it because he wants to make some money. But that's another story.
Yeah, well, he is an egomaniac. So.
Well, there are people that think that a lot of our leaders throughout history have been egomaniacs. And quite frankly, I think you have to have a pretty good-sized ego to think you can run a country of, what, 300 million people, something, 360 million people,
yeah,
whatever
not,
it is.
Not to the point where you think you have to and can control everything.
Yeah. Well, and even I heard the other day on the air, and this might be a Russian bot that I heard, but that there is consideration of suspending the rule and allowing his leadership to go on to 2026, just because of all the problems that are going on right now. Please don't let that happen.
No, they haven't even. I mean, FDR was the only president to serve four terms, and they ended that after him.
Yeah, and I think he might have served one term too long, just because of his health. Yeah. Well, I appreciate.
He was very popular. So.
Yes, he was, and he did a lot of very progressive things, which would label him a socialist right now.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate you listening, and you and I are on the same page. I know there are people out there that are not on the page with us, though.
Everybody's got an opinion.
Yes, they do, and I hope you have a wonderful day, even though we are all thinking about those who died on September 11th.
That was just horrible.
Yeah.
I remember where I was when that happened.
Yeah.
I was at the DMV.
You were?
Yeah.
How did you find out at the DMV?
They had a TV on.
Oh, my.
And I just happened to look up there, and I saw the second plane hit the second tower.
Yeah.
And I'm like, holy moly.
Yeah.
Well, the first one we all thought was an accident, but when the second one hit, I think you and I will agree we knew that it wasn't an accident anymore.
Well, I missed the first one. I just happened to look up there and I saw the second one.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe my eyes. I'm like, really? A plane flying into the tower.
And if you stop and think about it, there were two that hit a very tall building. There was one that hit our Pentagon, and then there was one that crashed in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
It was a bad day.
It was a very bad day.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much for calling, and continue listening. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I sure will. You have a good day, too.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, thank you very much to our caller. We all have our opinions. Your opinion is your opinion, and if you disagree with us, you're more than welcome to call in. I try not to run down anybody, especially in public. I might go home and tell my wife that person was nuts, but I will not criticize you in public. And I guess this is in public. It's on radio, and there's several hundreds, if not thousands, of people listening right now. Oh boy, that scared me. Anyway, if we have no clarity and no honesty, we won't have people call in and say what this past caller said. And we need that clarity and we need that honesty. We also, you know, one of the best things that I've found that will help is kindness. And I'm not pie in the eye type of person. I believe that there are times. Believe me, ask my children. There are times that I get pretty darn mad, but kindness will overcome most of that problem. My wife used to say to me when I was getting ready to spank one of the kids, she'd say, "Who's the adult here?" That usually calmed me down. She made me wait 5 minutes. If I was going to spank one of the kids, we sent the kid to the room, and I had to wait 5 minutes before I could go up and spank him. And by that time, my spanking hand was kind of sore, so I wouldn't spank very hard. Anyway, but kindness is our best defense, I believe. I believe if you treat a person with kindness, no matter who the person is, unless they're absolutely stark raving mad, they will treat you back in kind themselves, unless they don't believe your kindness. And I believe there are a lot of people that don't believe anybody can be kind. And it kind of developed it. I know mom and dad don't listen, but I blame it on their parents. If you are not taught to be a kind person, you won't be a kind person. And please remember that when you're bringing up your own kids. I get so tired of hearing somebody in Walmart smack their kid and call them a dirty name. That's really where people that flew that plane came from, I believe. Anyway, when I was young, I found that anger was not the answer. And I'll tell you why I believe that anger is not the answer. I was sixth grade. I was a pretty strong kid. And I was in sixth grade. And his name was Panic. No, Panis. His last name was Panis. And he and his brother were picking on a kid in the playground. And after school was over, I said, that's not the way to treat somebody. Now, mind you, I've been raised by a Methodist minister, so I did it with some kindness, but he started making fun of me, and he started smacking at me and hitting me, and I got so angry, and I really didn't do anything to respond to it until I got so entirely engulfed in that anger that I picked Mr. Panis up and threw him to the pavement. Now, I don't know how I had that strength, but I did, and I hurt him pretty badly, and I felt horrible about that. But my feelings of horror were maybe overcome by my feelings that he deserved what he got. anyway, he did not come back to school for about 2 weeks, so I think something got broken, but I didn't wait around to find out. I let him lay there on the ground, and his brother took care of him. Not too much longer, probably 2 years later, I was at South Bend Central Junior High, and one of the kids pulled out a knife on me and was going to cut me, I guess. And it infuriated me that he would do that. Again, my second nature was not to hit him, not to do anything, but I reached over, grabbed him, picked him up, and threw him down a stairwell. That hurt him pretty bad as well. At that point, I realized that my anger was taking over me rather than me controlling my anger. At that point, I decided it no longer would ever happen that I would hurt somebody. And I have not. I've been near barroom fights. I've been near arguments that turn into fights. But I do not fight, and the reason why I don't fight is I don't want to hurt anybody anymore. And I don't know why people do want to hurt other people. Why do you want to hurt somebody else? It must stem from jealousy, or it must stem from an anger that was put into you by your mom or dad or your grandma or grandpa or something like that. Or I don't know, you always thought maybe that you were never treated right, or there might just be a portion of our populace that's how they react to things. They just, it's in their second nature, it's in their head, and they don't know how to not react to that. But I've decided that a long, long time ago, I decided that I would never hurt anybody. And now I'm sure I have hurt people mentally. I'm sure that there are times that my wife is not very happy with me. I do not hurt her, nor do I touch her. Matter of fact, the only time anybody ever touched anybody in my family is one night I came home a little bit inebriated, let's say a lot inebriated, and she did smack me around a little bit that night, and I deserved every bit of it. So, I think we learn that anger is not the answer. But apparently there are people that don't learn that anger is not the answer. I have a friend. Let's just leave it at that. I have a friend who screams at her kids. And that anger, as I watch it, I can see that all it's doing is making her kids angry to respond. They don't do anything because she's much bigger than they are, but you can see it in their eye that they're not happy that they're being screamed at. And in most cases, kids aren't quite sure what they did wrong. Now, I know it's a method of teaching. That's why I didn't spare the rod myself. I thought I was teaching them how to act. But the more I think about it, the more it concerns me that I made my children angry. And I do see a little bit of anger in my children towards their children occasionally. And I hope that I didn't plant that there. I've been very, very fortunate in having three children who turned out to be wonderful kids. And no longer kids, they're pretty adult now, and they are raising some wonderful kids as well. Well, we've got a caller, another caller, and I'd like to listen to my next caller. Hang on. Hello, you're on the air.
Is there any way I can talk to you and it not be on the air?
Not right now, I'm all alone, I'm sorry.
Well, I'll tell you what it is. I was supposed to come in and pick up my gift certificate,
mm-hmm.
and I have someone that has to come here at the house and bring my oxygen,
uh-huh.
and it's so hot out. Could I have someone else pick it up for me?
Uh,
Yeah, just make sure that they know who the person, you know, your name, and I can see on their caller ID who your name is, so okay. I will put that, that somebody else is going to pick that
okay.
up for you.
Okay. I think that's what I better do.
Okay, and now we're going to be off the air here at 1 o'clock, so, and there won't be anybody in here for a little while, so you
yeah,
probably make it tomorrow.
Yeah, I have it written down, 3:15 to 5 o'clock.
Okay, all right, excellent. Well, thank you for being one of our contestants.
Well, thank you.
Have a nice day.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, we have, before you come to pick up anything here at the radio station, make sure... I had to turn that off. I'm sorry. Make sure that you call ahead to make sure somebody's here. Unless, if you hear us on the air, feel free to come on down. We are in New Digs. It's really nice here. I really like this place. We're in the Ohio Health Building, which used to be, I think, the Chase Bank Building. And I'm told that before that it was the... some other bank building, Bank One building, I believe. And it's right at the corner of Prospect and Center Street. It used to be right in the heart of the Popcorn Festival. It was a great place to be, except you couldn't find any place to park. Now, I got here early, so I did find places to park, but it was kind of rough later in the day. Hey, what a great Popcorn Festival. Kudos. Tom Danner, he was on the day before the parade and gave us a lot of good information about the Popcorn Festival, and everything he said happened. It turned out very well. I was unable to watch the parade, even though I only live three blocks from the parade route. But I was babysitting a grand dog, and the grand dog did not like all the people and all the noise and stuff. So we stayed at home with the grand dog. Grand dog is now in his new digs. My son just moved to a nice house in Worthington, and we went down there last night and visited their house. They have a great yard with a giant ravine in the back. I hope my grandkids are smart enough not to fall down into the ravine. Not that it's not a straight cliff, but anyway, we had a good time last night and ate at a Italian restaurant that was just outstanding. And I'm not going to give them a free clip or free ad. So anyway, I really enjoyed it. I hope you enjoyed the Popcorn Festival. I hope it continues on strong. I think it will. I was out walking the grand dog the second night. Yes, the second night. The Country and Western group was on. And we could hear it from our house. And it sounded like they were having a ball. I like parties like that. My wife hates parties like that. She never goes with me to any parties. When I was running for office, I had to go to different events, and she never went with me. She, I'm sure had I been on the winner's stage, which I was not, I'm sure she would have gone with me to that. She wouldn't have liked it, but she would have gone with me. it was a nice... It was a nice weekend, I guess. What is it? Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, the Popcorn Festival. I got a couple of nice Facebook notes from the granddaughter of Orville Redenbacher, who, again, thanked me for having her mom come and be part of the festival. She was here, I don't know, 5 years ago, something like 6 years ago. That was my honor to have her here. She, as I think I mentioned last week, Orville was one of my dad's parishioners at our church in Valparaiso, Indiana, and also my father-in-law was his doctor. So we have our own little connection there. Well, I'm going to have tomorrow, and I mentioned this before, but I want to mention it again. I'm going to have Ed McCants on. And Ed was considering running for the mayor position in Marion, and apparently decided not to. But I wanted to find out why he was considering it, what made him interested in doing that sort of thing, and what he would have done for Marion had he stayed in it. We are also going to have Mayor Schertzer has committed to come on at some time in the next couple of 3 weeks, and we'll have him on. And I've asked Kevin, I keep forgetting Kevin's last name. He's running on the Republican side. Kevin Norris. I'm going to have Kevin Norris on, I hope. He hasn't gotten back to me yet, but we just asked him to be on the show. And we will try to cover everything all you Marionites should know about the top position, top political position in Marion, and what those people intend to do for us. We had Sue McGowan on a couple weeks ago or last week, and she gave her ideas on lots of things that she thought we weren't doing as well as she could help us do. One of her main concerns was opioid crisis that we're going through, the drug crisis, and the corruption of a lot of people in this town that seem to think that our answer is drugs, money, and rock and roll, I guess. And she was going to try and find a new way out of the problems that we have developed here. And we're going to ask similar questions of Mayor Schertzer. And also, if Mr. Norris comes on, we will ask him similar questions. Like I told you earlier in the show, we're kind of required to offer the same amount of time to each person, and that's what I intend to do. And I hope you will tune on tomorrow, even though my guest tomorrow is not running for the mayoral position. He started to fill out petitions and do the, and I just wanted to find out why. He happens to be an African-American gentleman, and I wondered why he was deciding that he wanted to run for the position of mayor of this town. I don't know which ticket he was going to run on. My guess is he would have run as an independent, but I don't know that. That's what Sue is running on, as an independent. That's another question. If we had had two independents running, do you have to have a primary election with two independents? I really don't know. Anyway, we will. I'll follow that up and see if I can find out. We do have new election board people, so maybe they know the answer to that sort of thing. Well, I hope that you enjoyed today. It was kind of rambling, but with the 9/11 theme. And hope you'll join me tomorrow, same time, same station. Glenn Coble, you're listening to A Progressive Life.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, LP, Marion, Ohio. For guests like the 40th Treasurer of the United States, Mary Ellen Withrow.